Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav is a very auspicious number, so we hope it will represent the 36 hours of Or HaGonuz that come back to us, among God, many other things. So we're right at the top of the daf, right after Kaman Krabi Shimon. Bo Re'ei Kama Nisim Na'asu Bo'oto Hayom. Look how many nisim were done all on that day. Now, this is only true according to Rav Yehuda, remember, who held that all of the things that took place had to take place on that first day, even though it was so many miles and miles away. So first of all, Avruy Yisrael et HaYarden. Being over the Yarden itself was a tremendous nes, as we saw that all of the world saw that, and the water but went up, Ubo, Lahagrizim, Laharevo, Yoter Mishishim Mil. They were able to travel more than 60 kilometers, and that was they came directly to Hagrizim and Harival, because we're not going according to Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, remember, the Yerushalmi says that they just called two hills Hagrizim and Harival. But this was serious. They had to go all the way to Hagrizim and Harival. Nothing was able to stop them. They didn't call Birya Yecholel Amud Bifnehim. Nothing could stand up to them. Anybody who attempted to prevent the progress of Yisrael, Targrizim Harivo, immediately was Nitras. It means that he got horrible diarrhea. He lost all control of his functions. And that was the pachad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done to them to such an extent that they would feel that they are terrified, that they've lost everything, even their bodily control. That's why it says, I'm going to send terror from that's coming from me. It'll be in front of you, and that way anybody who attempts to do anything, hamoti, hamoti doesn't mean I'll kill, hamoti means that I'll be mahamim, means I will scare them and shatter them emotionally. And we see that Lamaisa, this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence affected the Umay Sa'elam as Yisrael crossed. Okay, now that we talked about Tipal, Amen, Amen. So let's just be derish that pasuk for a moment. Ad Yavoram Cha Hashem, Ad Yavoram Zukanita. What is the two times Ad Yavor? Ad Yavoram Cha Hashem Zo Biyarishona, Ad Yavoram Zukanita, Zo Biyashnia, which was meant to be a description of the Biyashnia Bisman Ezra. And that shows that Ruuyima Yu Yisrael Lasot Behanes Bivya Shniya Kibivya Rishona Elashagar Amachit. Actually, the plan was that the end of each one, the Ema Hashecha Gedol Nefelas, each one was supposed to be ended with a bang, with this tremendous Nisim, the same way that we Kamei Tseischem Mitzrayim, Meretz Mitzrayim, Arena Niflaot. And that didn't happen because of all of the Chatoyim that had taken place during the time that we're not yet Mechupar, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and subsequently. Anyway, what was the next days? Well, Achar kach hevi'u et avanim uvanu et hamizbeach. Okay, so then they also needed to take those avanim, built the mizbeach, sadu, besid, all of this took place on one day. They had to cover it all with the seed, with the lime. The kot v'alemet kol divrei HaTorah b'shivim lashon. Now, mind you, this is taking place in like an hour, you understand. In other words, walking from the Yarden, getting to Hagrizim and Harivo, they still had time to be making the Mizbeach and to put up the Avonim and to cover them and then to write the entire Torah in 70 languages. And that was Shenemar Ba'er Hetev. And then they also were Mechuyev to bring Olot Ushlamim. That was part of the Chiyev, remember. That was the basis of the Kutim, you remember, that it says that this was Avanim Shlemot, Tivnet, Mizbeach Hashem Lokecha, Vezavachta Shlamim, Vechalta Shom. This is on Hagrizim. So you see, the Hagrizim is like the Mizbeach. It's like the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, because of that, they were Mechuyev even to make a Simcha over there with Shlamim. And then they had to say the Brochas and the Klolas. Viki Pluat Avanim. And then they had to take these Avanim apart. Because they were a Mizbeach, so they had to not take out all of the mortar between them, the stones, they had to take it all apart, carry it all the way back to Gilgal, And as we saw before, you might think this means wherever they went, they had to carry these stones. It was a one-time thing when they came back to Gilgos. It's like they traveled, the Gemara says elsewhere, 120 kilometers in one day. Talmud lomar, asher talinu bo halayla. And what was that? As it says, 12 rabbanim ha'ela, lakhu, asher lakhu min ha'yarden, but not Yehoshua ba'Gilgal. He came Yehoshua ba'Gilgal, and that means that was that all in that one mitzvah. Tana, tzira lo avra imayim. Now we were talking about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ezer and terrified them when they came wherever they were walking, the entire way. But yet the Braita says that the tzira didn't cross the Yarden, which doesn't seem to make much sense. The tzira, remember, was a guided missile, a biological weapon that would actually focus in on a target and would, as we'll see, would blind them and would castrate them, would leave them basically kaput. So this tzira'ah that used to fight with them in the midbar, it didn't go over the Yarden. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that? It says, Beferish, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm going, bedavka, to send the tzira'ah before you. Which means that at the time, Shalachdi et hatzira'a lefanecha, v'gishat et achivi, et haknani, et achiti. So, I mean, what does that mean? If it doesn't cross, how in the world would it be able to help them to be megarish, achivi, and haknani? Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, asfat yardin amda, v'zarka b'hem mara. This was not only a guided weapon. It was a guided weapon that had missiles in it. So basically all it would need to do is stand on the other side of the Yarden and would shoot this poison at their eyes, which would blind them, and it was simta in em lamala v'sirasta milamata. It would actually leave them castrated and blind. And that basically handles them. Shenemer v'anochi ishmati et ha'amorim ipneihem asher kagova razim gavu v'chasonu ka'alonim and Vashmit Piryo Mimal Vishorashav Mitachas. We see that it says that the Amoraim were destroyed both from above and in their roots from below. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says there's no problem. It doesn't say that there wasn't any tzira. It says that the tzira that was there in the midbar didn't cross. That's all that it says. And that means that there were shtei tzira otavoy. The first tzira was a weapon that was there with Moshe Rabbeinu and was kosher to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, it didn't cross with them. The second tzira was a tzira that was of Yoshua. So Chodin Moshe v'Chodin Yoshua. Remember that each one of these matones that were done for us were done b'schus the kiyum of some individual. So we know that b'schus Miriam, we had the Be'er, b'schus Aaron, we had the Anan, b'schus Moshe, we had the Mon. And here it turns out that the tzira'ah was a companion of Moshe, was a way for Moshe to fight, and the tzira'ah at the time of Yoshua was a different breed of tzira'ah, which Moshe, but Yoshua, of course, that was the one that it's referring to, is on the other side of the Yarden. Now we have some problems. The problems are, if we get back to the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah that Shisha Shvatim Alul Rosh Har Grizim, Vishisha Shvatim Alu Rosh Arival, and the Kohanim and the Leviim and the Aaron was down in the middle between them. And the funny thing is that the Lashon of the Pasuk actually distinguishes between one half and the other half. Because what it says is, as the Mishnah brings, B'chol Yisrael, Uskanav v'shotrim v'shoftav omdim mizeh omizeh la'aron neged ha'kohanim ha'leviim dosei ha'aron brit Hashem kager kezrach. Now listen carefully to these words. Chetzio emul ha'grizim v'ha'chetzio emul ha'reva kasher tziva Moshe. Now, why is chetzio chetzio and the other chetzio is ha'chetzio? I mean, that gives more significance to one of the chitzim than to the other. So how do you explain that? So the truth is, the simplest explanation is not that it's attributing one more and one to the other, but rather it's letting us know that there is a reference that we can refer back to the Chetzio, meaning the same way that you split the Am in a different place, that is the way that it was split over here. So what would that mean? Omer of Kahana, the well-known Chetzio, when you built the Mishkan, and you made so many years ago, and you made the Big Day Kuhuna, so then you had to make the Ephod. And in the Ephod, you had the Chaluka of the Avonim, one on one, Ketefot Ephod, and one on the other of the Ketefot Ephod. The same way, Kederach Shechalukim Kan, Kach Halukim Bavnei Ephod. So basically, it means that the way never said over there in Shmos, what names of the Shvatim do I put on which stones, which of the two stones of the Ephod? Doesn't tell us, but it does tell us which one of the Shvatim stood on Har Gerizim and which one stood on Har Eval. And therefore, in the same way that it says over there, on Har Gerizim we had Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin, and on Har Eval we had Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. That is the Chalukah that was there on the actual Big Day HaKohen. Six on one of the Avanim, Shisha B'Shvotam al Eben Achat, and the Shisha HaNotarim were on the Eben HaShenit. That's what it means. Yes, the Gemara doesn't seem to be true. Meitve. Shtei Avanim Tovot Ayu Lal Kohen Gadol HaKetifah, V'Achat Pikan V'Achat Pikan. Ushnot Shmot Shnemasar Shvatim Katuv Aleihem. So it says over here in the Braita that there were, in fact, as we know, there were 12 names, 6, Shisha, 11, Achad, Shisha, 11, Zeh, Shinema, Shisha, Mishmishmotam, Ala, Evan, Achad, and what's interesting is that the Braita says that this was only on the second of the Avonim, was it in the order of the Ketoldotam, and that was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, would be the way you would have thought, but it was only the second group was Ketoldotam. But the first group was not Ketoldotam. Why not? Because they put the name of Yehuda first, and that meant it was seriously out of order, and the reason they did this apparently was because of the Chashivas of Yehuda. That was the mitzvah. So that would mean that you had the last six, it's true, were Ketoldotam, God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. The first six were a little bit mixed up because it started off with Yehuda, and then it went back to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, and Naphtali. So we had to take out Yehuda between Shimon and Levi. Okay? Now the question is that is very much not like what Rav Kahana just said. Okay, well, we'll see. We have a lot of different shitas in this. So let's take a look at the Braita. First of all, as the Braita explains, that there were a total of 50 letters that were there, and they were split between the first and the second stone. So there were Esrim v'chamesh al Evan Zo, v'esrim v'chamesh al Evan Zo. So sure enough, if you analyze the actual spelling of the names of the Shvatim, it turns out to be evenly split in this fashion, 25 and 25, but not really true, because it's really 24 and 25, but you remember the famous Gemara that says that Yosef was spelled Yehosef, or that Binyamin was spelled with the Yud between the Mem and the Nun, Binyamin, all to be explained in a moment. Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel omer, that actually, a second before Barney gets on me, that you should know that the way that we have the Shemot HaShvatim, in the beginning of Bamidbar, we're over there, we have the list of all of the various Nesiim. And these are the Nesiim, L'Shevet X, Nasi A, L'Shevet Y, and so on. But over there, it's a different order. Lo k'derech she'chalukim b'chumash ha'pkudim, chalukim b'avnei Ephod. So in the Chumash ha'pkudim, where we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, no, sorry, that's the whole point. We don't say Levi because Levi wasn't included. So over there we have Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef. And then we have Binyamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali, which of course separates between the Imahis. And that, even that was not the way that it is in the Ephod. Rather, the ephod was Gederech Shechalukim b'chumash sheni. Remember, we spoke about this many times, and that is the chiddush, that chumash sheni is the way that the Bahag refers always, as we spoke about the Rabbeinu Bachir talking about this, that the Bahag refers to chumash sheni as being shmos because of the fact that it was the second version, so to speak, the second part of chumash bereshis. That's the whole, when we were talking about the Ramban, that Yetzias Mitzrayim and Briyas HaElam wasn't completed until Klal Yisrael became the Merkava L'Shechina, and that was only with the completion of the Mishkan. So call that the Sheni, which we saw, remember when we were talking about Shmini, that Yom HaShmini, Simcha Yalafanav, Ki Yom Shenasa Shemayim V'aretz, and so on. So the Chumash Sheni doesn't just mean it. It's, normally we don't refer to a Chumash by the name of 1 and 2. Like a moment ago, we called Bamidbar Chumash Pekudim. But Shmos is called Chumash Sheni as a term that actually relates to its essence, not to its number. But anyway, so remember that over there, when we were talking about the Shivim Nafesh that were Bo Mitzrayim, so over there we went in the order, Ruven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, V'Asher, V'Yosef, Hayabim, Mitzrayim. So that was the Seder that it was. And how is this? So what they did was, the first Evan had the B'nai Le'ah Kisidran, not what Yehuda put first. So it was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Those are B'nai Le'ah. The B'nai Rachel were on the second Evan. One was at the beginning, and one was at the end. So they put Binyamin and Yosef as bookends, so to speak. So Binyamin was at the top, Yosef was at the bottom, and the B'nai Shvachot, which was Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, came between Binyamin and Yosef. And even though, this obviously is not Ketol Dotam, the way I'm telling it to you, how can you say it's Ketol Dotam? Doesn't that mean in the order that they were born? No. It means the names that were given to them when they were born. Kishmotam shekara lahem avihem. Moshe, because Moshe very often refers to the Shvatim with the Yud at the end in a lot of different contexts. So it's Shimon, it said. It didn't say Shimoni. It said Dan. It didn't say Dani. It said God. It didn't say Gadi. Okay, but basically we have two Shitot over here that are totally different from what Rav Kahana said. So how in the world does Rav Kahana get away with going against the Brisa? You're right, he doesn't. Tiyufta Rav Kahana, Tiyufta. Actually, the Seder on the Ephod was not the Seder that was at the Brochas V'Klolos, in which case we have not answered our original question. Remember, the only reason that we got to this is we were trying to understand why does it say Ha-Chetzio? Why is one Chetzio referred to with the Hey? So his teretz was that this is the desire to click back into the Ephod. We've shown that that isn't true. Okay, so what does it mean? Why does it say, Elamai HaChetzio? Tana, what it means is that the Chetzio Shomul HaGrizim was Miruba B'Chetzio Shohareva. Why? Because all of the Shevet Levi, almost all or many of Shevet Levi, Levi was Lamata. So since Levi was Lamata, that wrecked the population. And therefore, we can't refer to the both of them as the same. And HaChetzio, that means that those were not really a Chetzio, but were less than a Chetzio. This is very weird, right? Because usually the Hey would mean this was the more Choshava one, not that this was the less one. So that's a little bit strange. And actually, as Tosva says here, a little bit before, Tosva says that the Yerushalmi points out that the HaChetzio actually means, and goes through the how that works out, because if you really analyze, Tosva analyzes the numbers of all of the Shvatim, not just the number of Shvatim. But this is complicated, remember, by the fact that many of Shimon had died at this point because of the terrible story of the Mice of Zimri. so that they lost an enormous amount of their population. Okay, well, we're going to talk about the population a little bit more in a moment. So that means that there were more on one than on the other. But doesn't that, I don't understand. You're saying that the chetzi that was on Har Gerizim were more, but I thought if you said that Levi was the one who was on the bottom, then there should have been one of the shvatim that was on Har Gerizim was Levi. So now you're saying there was less on Har Gerizim? No, no. It's saying even though Afa Pisha Levi Lamata, that's all very nice, but there was still more. Why? Because Bnei Yosef was the greatest population. And since Bnei Yosef were Imahem, because of that, they were more anyway. That's what it mentioned. Nemar, Vayidablu Bnei Yosef et Yehoshua Lemor, Maduana Tata Linachala Goral Echad V'Chevel Echad V'Ani Amrav. How come I don't have an extra portion since I need extra space? Because I have so many people. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevorech us. That's V'Yidgul Rov Bekerav Haaretz. And Yehoshua said to them, you know, if you're so hung up about having so many people, you should be careful about having an ayin hara. I would say you should go, forget about getting another portion. You should go into the forests and you should hide yourself so nobody can see you because you don't want to get an ayin hara. No, if you got so many people. That's a very strange response, no? So, im amravata, alei lecha hayara. Obviously, it's not the simple meaning, but he's telling them how it's possible to expand. So the Gemara darshins, that means, Amarlam Yeshua told them, L'chu v'achbiu atzmechem b'yarim. Go hide yourselves in the forest. Shalot tishlot b'chem ayin hara. Don't spend your time complaining to me. Spend your time hiding out. So they said to him, no. Zara the Yosef, as you should well know, being from Yosef yourself, Zara the Yosef l'shot b'ayin abisha. Dichtiv ben porat Yosef ben porat alei ayin, and as Rabbi Abo explained, al tikrei alei ayin elo olei ayin. They have a keach above and beyond the keach of ayin hara. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, I have a different raya. It says v'yidgul arov bekerav haaretz. In the same way that dagim shebiyam mayim bechasim aleihem ve'in ha'ayin sholetet b'hem avzar osho Yosef ein ha'ayin sholetet b'hem. And this is because of the whole mice, as we saw so many times, because of the fact that it was an ayin shalei rotzel enos b'mashen shalei, ein ayin shaletas b'hem. But anyway, getting back to what you said before, you said there were 50 osios, and that these 50 osios were split between the two avanim. Somebody doesn't know how to count over here, because if you add up the osios, there were 49. Chamishim nechi chodahavians. Where do you get that? On the second one, there's only God, Ashi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. That's 24 letters. Omar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Yosef, Osifulo, Otechat. We see from Tehillim that there was an additional letter that was added, and the letter Hey, remember, as the Rabbi Nubach has explained to us, the letter Hey is always a remez to the presence of the Shekhinah, and therefore Yosef was given an extra letter Hey. Edut bi Yosef samo betzeto al eretz Mitzrayim. So then that means that this became an edus for the tzidkes of Yosef, that when he became the ruler of Mitzrayim, he was given that extra hay. So there were 50, therefore, including that extra hay. Matkif l'Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, didn't you just say that we had to give the names that we gave when they were born? That's how you explained away the Ketol Dotam when we asked you that it's out of order. So there you said Ketol Dotam means not in the order of birth, but like the names of the birth. Now when we ask you, there's only 49 letters, very conveniently, you managed to add a letter that wasn't at the birth. You're going to have to make up your mind. Either Ketol Dotam is Keseder Tol Dotam, which you're both denying, or Ketol Dotam means Keshem Tol Dotam. But then you're not giving the Shemot Tol Dotam, because Yaakov never called Yosef Yosef. Ella, okay. Davka, you know what? You're right. It's Davka because Ketol Dotam, that's the answer. Ha! Because the truth is, wherever you see the name Binyamin that's written in the Torah, it's always written Binyamin, no Yud, between the Mem and the Nun. But on the Ephod, it was written Binyamin with an extra Yud. Why? Because the one place that Binyamin is spelled with a Yud is Ketol Dotam. The Aviv Karalo Binyamin. That's exactly the point. So that there's supposed to be the Yud only because of Ketol Dotam. So it works out actually lovely. One of the most mysterious of the Rambam approaches to things is the Rambam who describes the Ephod against everything that the Gemara says. It's as if, like, every pshat that we came out over here, he has his own pshat. There's, by the way, literally, when I said there's books written on it, there's literally books written on it. A number of people have written entire books to be masbir, just the shita of the Rambam on how this is supposed to work out. It's absolutely amazing. But anyway, there's one beautiful shita that's missing here, which doesn't account for the Rambam, but maybe for some of the Rambam. That's Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi says that one shita in the Yerushalmi is that Binyamin was written on both of the Avnei HaEphod. How is that? So we had Ben and Yamin. So that was the, why it was written as Ben Yamin. So Ben was written on one stone and Yamin was written on the other stone. And because of that, it was actually two different names. It's Medayik over there. Shisha Mishmotam. Doesn't say that their whole names were written. So Mishmotam means even part of the names were written. There's a glorious Pirish of, where was it? Idun Yor Sameach, Lamesha Chachma. I forgot where he brings it, Ramir Simcha, that the meaning, therefore, of Binyamin, this is amazing, Pshat, so beautiful. Bein Ketefav Shachem is said on Binyamin. So what does that mean? That between the two Ketefot HaEphod, the Ben on one piece and the Yamin on the other piece, Bein Ketefav, that's where Binyamin was Shachem in the Shechina and the Mishkan. Unbelievable, huh? Okay. Anyway, that's the answer to how we get that extra letter. But the extra letter was not because of the hay. Now, the hay in Yehosef is obviously there because it's there in Sefer Tehillim, but it wasn't there on the Ephod. So what was the meaning of that hay that David HaMelech adds? Om Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Om Rav Shimon Chasida, Yosef, Shekideh Shamayim B'Seser, Osifu Olav Ot Echad Mishmo, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehuda, Shekideh Shem Shamayim, the Farhesia, so from them, it's not quite 100% clear how what exactly that's referring to, whether it's referring to the way Rashi learns, it's referring to the Kvitsa, to the Yamsuf, which is a little bit strange, but or whether it's talking about what we said before. Remember that he's called Yehuda because he was made a Barabim with the story of Tamar. Okay, there's a little bit of a question as to what precisely we're referring to or whether one is Megala on the other. But in any event, it was Yosef was only in private that he was Mizgaber over his Yetzer and he didn't sleep with Eshes Potipharah. Mashiud HaShikidishim Shemayim B'Farhesya not only was given the letter Hey, but Nikra Kulo is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Except when we put the Dalit in, but he has all four Oseas of the shame. Says Nikra Kulay al Shmo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, what are we referring to when he said he was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim? Dichtiv. Vayhi ke ayom azeh vayavo abayta lasot melachto. So all of a sudden there's a certain day. Now it was talking about beforehand that every single day that she would start up with him, and as the Gemara says, the dress that she wore in the morning wasn't the dress that she wore in the evening. It was like incredible. Anything that a woman could do to turn a guy on, she did. Then all, and he resisted this the whole time. Now all of a sudden, it says, Vayika Yom Hazeh, like something special about this day. And he's coming to the house, Vayovo Abaita Lasot Melachto. That sounds awfully suspicious. And indeed, Rabbi Yochanan says, that means Shishneim Lidvar Avera Nitkavnu. That this Kayom HaZeh is clearly something changed. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's good for what changed. That this was the day that he decided he can't take it anymore, and he's going to end up sleeping with her. So, Vayovo Abaita Lasot Melachto, Rav Shmuel, also Cholek, Chanam Lasot Melachto Mamash, One says, why do you have to say that? Maybe it means he came in to do the dishes. I don't know. I mean, whatever it was that he was taking care of. And the other one says, no, the whole point over here is, especially with the Lashon of Vayavo, sounds very suspicious. And then it goes to say that no one was home. That makes it even more suspicious. Why is he coming today when nobody is home? But how can nobody be home? Now we're talking about a major officer of the whole Malchus of Mitzrayim. It doesn't make sense to say nobody's home. Efsha bayit gadol kebeito shel oto rashav potifera velo hayabo ish. Tanit ve Rabbi Shmuel. Yes, because it was a special day. Actually, oto hayom, yom chagam haya. This was the biggest holiday that they had in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says this was the day they used to thank the gods of Egypt for the Nilus, because it was when the Nilus would generally overflow. And because of that, everybody had to go. So they all went to church. She tells everyone, I'm sick, I can't go, I can't move. So that she figures, because she said, to herself, obviously, best possible chance I've got to finally get Yosef is today. And so it goes on about the whole story. And what is it that helped Yosef at that moment? So he actually, at that moment, he sees the image of Yaakov Avinu. And the Yaakov Avinu Ki'ilu says to him, Amarlo, Yosef, and this is amazing because the extra hay ends up getting back to the ephod, but in a completely different way. So the tzura of his father says to him, Yosef, you should know there's going to be such a thing as an ephod. And all of the other shvatim are going to be on the ephod. The whole sugi revolves around the ephod from beginning to end. So, Achecha Tidim Shikatu Alev Ne'efod. You're supposed to be one of the names on the ephod. Shall we just erase it from now? Because you're just going to mess yourself up. Instead, we'll call you Mr. Roe Zonot. So instead of writing Yosef, we'll write Pimp. Is that what you'd like? Dichtiv Roe Zonot Yabedon. Somebody who goes around pimping. So he is going to lose everything he's got. Miyad vateshev beitan kashto. Om Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Meir. Sheshava kashto le'etano. Actually, very fascinating lashon. So as we know, kashto is a reference gufa to his penis because it shoots arrows. We always refer to Shechva Zera as chitzim. Ki chitzim biad gibor. This is the reason, as the Ramban explains, and many of the Shemaim, that this is the keshet of the Shemaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us as turning the keshet back on himself, ki'ilu, and that's the simon of a bris, and therefore the simon of the bris for Avram and the simon of the bris for Noach are basically the same bris, which is why someone who's made Cesar Levatola causes a brain to become a marble. Also, all of the metaphors are basically the same, and therefore, the language of Sheshova Kashto Le'etano is an unusual lashon because Le'etano usually means to its power, right? So we have the river flowing in its power, that's Le'etano. Over here, Sheshova Kashto Le'etano means that he became flaccid. So how is that Le'etano? So it must be that Etan over here is a reference to self-control. So in other words, the matzav of Eitano means that he was under control. Vayafozu zro'e yadav. So what does that mean? Instead of reading it and his hands were covered with gold, what we understand it to mean is vayafozu, that it leaked out. Zro'e yadav will learn not his arms, but rather his zera, yadav through his hands. So na'atz yadav bekarka. So this is the eitza that the Chazal say somebody suddenly told by his wife that she became a nida in mid-intercourse. So the way he's not allowed to exit because as long as he has an erection, he can't move at all. So what should he do? Be noetz etzbotav bekarka until he loses his erection. So that's what he did. So he was actually noetz yadav bekarka to support himself on, that's the Parshat meaning, support himself on his hands, and that was like it's painful. So it took his mind off of what was going on. So to speak, I think they actually used to believe this, that semen can come out from underneath your fingernails if it's held in. The pashtus is that he actually, remember the Mishnah that says that if a Kohen is eating truma and he suddenly feels that he's about to ejaculate, so he should grab his penis and squeeze and swallow. But that would mean that literally, this, by the way, is actually a useful trick that they say, that by giving the penis a sharp squeeze, that it's possible to control ejaculation. So maybe that's the pshat, that it was Yotzi Shechvazari Ben Tziporne Yadav. Maybe it means from the fingers that he was holding himself with. But whatever it is, it could be a simon, a metaphor. And because of that, he ended up losing some of his Shechvazera. So that's why when it continues on, it says, this kayach that you had in the bracha of Sheshava Leitano is Midei Avir Yaakov, Migar Hamlacha, Shechachek Al Abnei Yifot. So who was the one that made it possible for Yosef to survive this and to be able to be on the Yifot? It was Yaakov Avinu, it was Avir Yaakov, because of Dmus Diyuknai Shel Aviv, Misham Ro'eh, Evan Yisrael. Remember, as Rashi explains, Evan Yisrael is a lashon of Av and Bain, which means Yosef and Yaakov. This was Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. And it was because of this that he became Tzadik Yisoid Elam. Tzadik Yisoid Elam means that the mocker of Brocha is in that Tzadik. And that therefore, obviously, he had to be the source of fertility and not wasted fertility. And that allowed him to become the Roya Shenema, Roe Yisrael, Ha'azina, Nohe Katzon Yosef, that Yosef HaTzadik is the one who actually is considered to be the Roya of all of Klal Yisrael because of this Madrega of Tzadik Yisrael, which Kabbalistically becomes the Sheresh of all Brocha, as we sing about in Kel Mistater. Tanya, Hayara U Yosef, let's say, Miminu Shnei Shvatim. The truth is that since it says, Eile Todot Yaakov Yosef, and we saw that Kol Mashi Ira LeYaakov Ira LeYosef, then Yaakov Avinu had 12 Shvatim. And since he considers Yosef to be the equivalent of an Av, so we should have found that there were 12 Shvatim that came from Yosef. Kider Shiyotsu Yaakov Aviv, Shremer Eile Todot Yaakov Yosef. But the problem is that he lost 10 drops of sperm, each one of which could have been the source of one of those shvatim. And in losing those 10 drops, he lost the 10 shvatim. Afal pi kein, nonetheless, you'll notice that there are 10 children of Binyamin that are named after Yosef. So afal pi kein, yetzu mi binyamin achiv. And all those 10 were called Yosef. Shenemar uvnei binyamin, bela vavecher, Yashbel, and Gira, and Naaman, and Echi, and Rosh, and Mupim, Chupin, Ard, and so on. What are all these funny names? So Bela, this is, remember, Rashi brings this when Yosef asked his brother, so what kind of weird names are those? And he starts explaining they're all after my beloved brother, you know, that, and we're going to see what the Ramazim are. It was at that point that Yosef had to run out of the room and burst out crying. So these were these Shemites. Bela, Shinivla, Ben Ha'umot. He ended up disappearing, swallowed up among the goyim. But Vecher, he was a bechor le'imoaya, and he's called Ashbel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shovehim in Mitzrayim, Sheshva'o El. And he's called Geira because he would live in all kinds of places where he didn't belong. Shegar b'chsaniyot, he should have been here in Eretz Yisrael with us. Naaman is because he's so wonderful, so sweet. Na'im bioter, Achi, Rosh, he was my brother, he was my Rosh, that I respect. Mupim, Chupim, these are Lashonos of Chuppah, apparently, although for some reason it doesn't explain Mupim as a separate name. So Rashi brings that Mupim is that was Mipiv, and Rashi brings this Chumash to Mipiv, is he got all of the Torah that Yaakov Avinu had learned, and he was the one that's carrying the years of Yaakov's learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. So it's Mipiv. Okay, for some reason it doesn't say it here. Chupim, both chuppas we missed. Hu lo ra'a b'chupati. I obviously was not at the chuppah. He never saw my chuppah, but he was young when he was sold. V'ani lo ra'iti b'chupato either. Va'ard sheyarad lebeinu moto olam. And some say va'ard, since we already had the remez that he was gar ba'achsaniot, va'ard is the word for a rose, so similar to vered. So va'ard is that he had such a beautiful, bright, rosy complexion. Omar Rabbiya, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, b'sha'asha Omar lo paro li Yosef, u'biladecha lo yarim ish et yado v'raglo b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. So they went crazy. Amru itztagnine paro. I mean, remember, this was a direct confrontation with all of the astrologers and none of his magicians. He paid no attention to them. He didn't like the interpretation. So all of a sudden comes this upstart Eved, gives him an interpretation, and now everything goes according to him. What kind of business is this? Eved shalakachol rabo besrim kesef. We know, we found out the history of this guy. A piece of junk was bought for a couple of pieces of shoes. Tamshi leo aleinu, he's the guy that you're putting over the entire Eretz Mitzrayim, above us, said Paro to them, what do you think, I'm stupid? Ginune Malchus Aniro Ebo. I don't care what you discovered about him, but I see in him directly, this guy is a melech. He is, everything about him is so noble. I mean, it's pure nobility. I don't know where it came from, but this guy was meant to be a melech. Omrulo, so they said, well, I mean, if he's supposed to be a melech, one of the ideas of being a melech is that his consciousness is capable of subsuming all of his subjects, which means that he's got to be able to speak every language that anyone in the Malchus will speak, right? Because, I mean, that's what a king is. A king incorporates the way of thinking and the theory of mind of everyone in the kingdom. Can he speak? Shivim Loshonos. I dare you to check it out. Im keni yodea b'shivim loshon, if he's a melech. But Gavriel v'lim d'ashivim loshon. So that night, Gavriel comes along, and that's what we brought before. Remember, we brought the story of Gavriel when we were talking about the Malach HaShoris. They don't know the Aramit, which according to the Rif, remember the Sheet of the Rif, is they didn't know foreign languages. So the Gemara, one of the Gemara's Tirutzim, besides it was a Pasco, was that it was Gavriel. So this is Gavriel was the master teacher of languages, and that's why Gavriel immediately came and was spent all night teaching him Shivim Lashon. Well, even Yosef wasn't smart enough to get all Shivim Lashonis in one night, so it didn't work. That's where the hey came from, according to this version. So Gavriel gave him that extra hey, which gave him the power of the Shekhinah Kaviyachal, and he was able to learn it. And that's why the place where David HaMelech speaks about that hey, so one is the source of the hay, and one is where the hay came from in practical terms. Shenemar edut b'Yosef esamo, b'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim. Look how it ends. Sfat lo yadati yashma. The language that I didn't know before, all of a sudden I started to understand. That's mamish now. The entire thing now starts to become clear. So then the next day, when they bring him to Paro, so kol lishna dishtaboy, Dishtoi, Paro Bade, Adelai. So Paro would just like, you know, pull his little shtick. He would speak, they had a nice discussion. Every other line, Paro used a different language to speak them in. And Yosef would need to respond to him in that language. It wasn't so low class as to, all right, let's see how many of these you get right out of 100, you know? So just to see in the interview whether Yosef would be able to speak with him. Sure enough. So then, Paro spoke, that Yosef spoke to Paro in Lashon HaKodesh. Paro didn't understand. So this was a disaster. So Paro said to him, listen, you have to teach me this. So Agmari Yosef tried to teach him Lashon HaKodesh. He was unable to learn Lashon HaKodesh. So as we've explained, again, many times, Lashon HaKodesh is not Ivrit. Obviously, they knew how to speak Ivrit. They spoke with the people from Canaan, and everybody We saw before they had interpreters that were interpreting. That's not an issue to speak Ivri. But he spoke to him Mamish in Lashon HaKodesh, which means essentially you have to know Torah Kula, how you're going to understand all of the Ramazim and the interrelationships and the complex hypertexting of Lashon HaKodesh. That's basically what the Gemara is there to teach us, is how to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Every single drasha is another insight into the way that the Lashon works. That's why it's so fabulously sensitive to the literary issues. So Paro obviously was not going to be able to understand that on the one spot or at all. He spent his life on it. So Paro said to him, listen, you know, you have to swear that you're never going to tell anybody this. I'm going to put you into a position of power. I'm risking my life, you know. I mean, if they find out that you know things that I don't know. So he swears to them. Ishtavalo. Ki Omar Le, so later on after Yaakov Avinu died, so Yosef said to him, Avi, Hashmiani, Lemor. Well, what am I supposed to do? My father made me swear, you know, Bekivri, Ashakarati, Liberetz Knan, Shamatik Bereni. So Paro says to him, no, that's crazy. We need to keep Yaakov here. I mean, it's his chutz that's giving us all this water. I mean, this man is a god, dude. We can't let you take him away. Go ahead and be shoyel on the Shavua and be matir the Shavua. I mean, I understand you can't be over on the Shavua, but you could be shoyel on it, right? Omar Le, so Yosef said to him, well, okay, I mean, if I'm going to be shoyel on the Shavua, should I be shoyel on the Shavua that I made to you? I mean, is that the level of reliability of Shavua that you believe in? Well, Maisa, the problem is that we saw with the story of Tzidkiyahu that you can't be shoyel on a Shavua that you made to someone else for that person if it isn't actually al-daita. Right? Because over here was neither on his das. Pashtas, you're not, Pesach says, but Pashtas, you're unable to be matir. So it could be that it was just like a guzma, says Tesach. Oh, I can be shoyel on a shvua, so I guess I'll be shoyel on your shvua too. But he couldn't really have done it. I mean, you know, I think that the partial meaning of it is you don't need to see it as a threat. You need to see it as, what does a shvua mean to you? I mean, if you're telling me that it's that all that a commitment means is that we should search for ways to get around the commitment, I mean, is that what you want in my commitments to you? That's the point. No, remember, the entire relationship of Paro to Yosef is entirely built around the 100% of Ne'amonus of Yosef. He's saying, you're telling me, that's what he's saying, as a question, not as a threat. So you're telling me to be shoyel on a shvua? And you would tell me to be shoyel on your shvua also? That shili nami adidach? That's how I read the Gemara. So even though he desperately did not want to leave Yaakov to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, hafagav de lo nechale, he had no choice. But Amar Lei said to Yosef, alei ukvar et avicha, and he specifies, I'm only saying this to you, because kasher hashbi'echa, hishbi'echa actually. So the way that he was mashbi'a you, I suppose I have no choice but to give in. Okay, we didn't complete the story of why we called the Yehuda Befarhesia, as opposed to Betzina. Bezrat Hashem, we'll just finish this tomorrow because it runs into the entire machlokas with Binyamin and Yehuda about who gets to go jump in first. Thank you so much, Rabbosai, and we'll see you Bezrat Hashem Yisbara tomorrow. Shia Samecha, Morech Esnachal HaSecha.